address this forum on the remainder of the issues raised. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President, distinguished delegates, I take this opportunity first to respond to advanced questions and comments on land release and resettlement of IDPs. Sri Lanka has taken progressive measures to resolve the issues of the people living in the northern and eastern provinces. Most recently, a special unit on solving issues of people in the northern province was established directly under the purview of the Presidential Secretariat to focus on expediting northern development, reconciliation, and national unity. To facilitate the work of this unit, a sub-office has been opened in Vaunia district in the northern province to coordinate matters relating to land, housing, health, irrigation and agriculture, as well as to assist in the work of the Office on Missing Persons and Office for Reparations in the province. This unit will also assist in the work of the Cabinet Subcommittee on Reconciliation under the chairmanship of the President. In terms of land release in the northern and eastern provinces, 92% of private lands retained by the military has been released to the legitimate civilian owners through local government authorities as of January 2023. In addition, over 100 acres of land under the Army and Navy in Palali in the northern province are scheduled to be released shortly. Further, certain lands required for expansion of the Palali airport will be made available for cultivation of seasonal crops. Sri Lanka has initiated action to restore land ownership of people who had been traditionally occupying and cultivating their lands, but which had been declared as forest or wildlife reservations after they were abandoned due to conflict situation. A roadmap to remap such areas and grant deeds has now been approved by the Cabinet of Ministers. The government has continued with the resettlement process. As of this month, a total of 2,324 families remain to be resettled. Of these, 149 live in welfare centres, while 2,175 live with extended family or friends. It may be noted that 75 families living in welfare centres are due to be resettled shortly in 13 acres of land released from the high security zone in Palali. A special committee has been appointed under the Ministry of Justice to look into the needs of Sri Lankan refugees returning from India. Mobile services have been conducted to solve issues in registration, obtaining certificates in birth, death and marriage, and issuing citizenship certificates to the refugee returnees. A recently held mobile service in the north benefited 179 such returnees. A similar mobile service will be held in Eastern Province this month. With regard to religious minorities and hate speech, Article 12.1 of the Constitution of Sri Lanka guarantees to all persons equality before the law and equal protection of the law. Article 12.2 guarantees a fundamental right to non-discrimination on the grounds of race, religion, language, caste, sex, political opinion, place of birth, or any such grounds. Sri Lanka remains committed to a society where the rights of all communities are secured and their safety and security is ensured. Therefore, human dignity is valued, and equal treatment to every person, irrespective of their religion, ethnicity, or race, is an accepted norm of public life. Steps are taken continuously to ensure that all communities have the space to express their identity, including the right to enjoy their own culture, profess and practice their own religion, and use, nurture, and promote their own language. All communities participate fully in the life of the nation, whether it be at national, provincial, or local level. With the support of development partners, the Office of National Unity for Reconciliation is in the process of developing a national action plan on preventing violent extremism. Since 2017, this office has conducted 21 programs for over 4,500 students to promote religious coexistence. More than 150,000 persons, including Buddhist, Islamic, Hindu, and Christian clergy, professionals, opinion leaders, and public servants have also been trained. The government does not condone any acts of religious hatred or intolerance and maintains a zero tolerance policy on any such acts and has taken measures to combat same. In addition to the provisions of the Penal Code, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights Act of Sri Lanka criminalizes advocating religious hatred that constitutes incitement to discrimination, hostility or violence. Accordingly, no person is permitted to advocate national, racial, or religious hatred that constitutes such incitement. Mr. President, let me now briefly state the action taken by the government to provide food security. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights recognizes the right to food as part of the right to an adequate standard of living. As such, Sri Lanka places great importance on ensuring food security to its people. The government is implementing a multi-sector combined mechanism for food security and nutrition, involving all levels of government, from national to over 14,000 village-level administrative bodies, to mitigate challenges related to food security and nutrition. We have also adopted the National Nutrition Policy and established several initiatives, including a national program on micronutrient supplementation, targeting pregnant and lactating mothers, children under 5 years, and all school children. A program to provide a nutrition allowance to pregnant mothers is in operation to eliminate low-weight births and minimize malnutrition among expectant mothers. Around 350,000 pregnant and lactating mothers benefit from this program annually. A morning meal program is also implemented in schools, in preschools, under guidance of the Ministry of Health, to benefit 150,000 children in 6,000 preschools throughout the country. The school meal program is in operation in nearly 8,000 schools, covering 1.1 million students, representing all provinces. We have allocated 19 billion Sri Lankan rupees from this year's budget for this purpose. Mr. President, we have also taken action to establish the Partnership Secretariat for World Food Programme Cooperation under the Presidential Secretariat for more effective coordination of the emergency response programme, livelihood development, and capacity building of farmers and related institutions. The Secretariat is focused, among other things, on the modernization of agriculture and providing special assistance to vulnerable families. I thank you, Mr. President, and I hand over to my PR.
Thank you, Mr. President.